The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Steve Warren Project. My name is Steve Warren. That's Jim Jerome, my old pal of two decades. Yeah, well over two decades now. I think it was like 2000, 1999, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Where we first met. Jimmy's out in Edmonton. We worked together for about a decade on terrestrial radio on TSN 1200. Now, in year number five of the Steve Warren Project. James, how are you today?
Is it 5 years?
Yeah, we started in, it's in the fifth year. It's just kind of begun here. Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm going to fuck off. I got to go do another show. Well, cool stuff, man. Yeah. Yeah, I love doing this podcast. Yep, I love it. It's one of my faves, if not my fave. It's loose, Stevie.
Absolutely, yeah.
Loosey goose. And where else can I come on, Steve, and get a video of the 7 cold sores that I have from being sick?
So proud of you. What'd you do?
Yeah.
Oh, it's from being having a cold or a virus. It's not something else.
Yeah. Oh, like herpes or gonorrhea or something, you mean?
Yeah. They say a certain act can bring on oral cold sores.
Could you imagine mouth gonorrhea? You want to restart? Let's restart. Wow. Okay, listen, Stevie.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Everyone's freaking out. Toronto, Ottawa, Edmonton, even Calgary, I guess, to an extent. Got to get rid of these coaches, right, Steve? Is that the story this morning? Is that the big breaking news?
Well, it certainly is in our markets. I think Leaf fans are perennially disgruntled, although they won. We're doing this on Tuesday, November 7th. They won last night over Tampa Bay. But yeah, it's our markets, I think, in particular, and San Jose's. Those are the big three. Those are your medalists right now, coaches on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. Your Edmonton Oilers and Jay Woodcroft. Like, that was a really, really good team last year, went deep into the playoffs. And my Senators and DJ Smith, he's on the hot seat. Because, well, the club is off to the bad start that everyone agreed DJ Smith could not afford. They've already fired the GM here, and now everybody's looking at DJ Smith.
Yeah, and that owner probably will, you know. I think he's a proactive guy, right? Like, you could tell by his last press conference over,
the firing of Pierre Dorion.
Yeah, the firing of Pierre Dorion because of
the the mutual decision to part company of Pierre Dorion.
Right, because of this thing where he lost a draft pick for busting a rule, and then the Pinto thing.
Right.
Okay. And so the owner, you know, most owners would come out and go, well, you know, we're going to let's see what happens. You know, we got to move forward. Yeah. It's a long season, yada, yada. He's like, fuck, I don't know what I was never informed of this. Fired. Right. So, your owner there is not going to piss around, you know, he's not going to piss around. So here's the thing, Steve, you know, everyone always at the beginning of the year going, well, I hope it's a great year. Let's see how they do in the first 15 or 20 games. You know, we're never going to, you know, you don't want to kill someone, Steve, before they have a chance to get their feet under them, before they can find their groove, before they can get their cadence, you know, yada, yada, yada. So now, 11 games in. Okay, 11 games in, you got to fire those guys. Okay, we need results. Well, no, what happened to the 20 games? Well, whatever. Well, no, whatever. I thought it was 20 games. It's what happened to the, it's a long season. Okay, so.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, so the equivalent of calling for, in my home city, calling for Jay Woodcroft's head is because the Oilers are, I don't know, 2-8 or something like that. Okay.
Yeah, they're bad. 2-1.
Yeah. They're San Jose's 0-10. You know, there's other bad guys out there. So the equivalent of saying, okay, we're going to fire the coach. Okay. The equivalent of that is, let's look at Vancouver. My buddy Rick Tocchet has got them rolling. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're 9-2. Okay. So let's say Rick signed a deal for a couple mil or 3 mil as a coach. All right. Let's just take that as a number. Okay. Mm-hmm. The equivalent of firing a coach right now, 10 or 11 games in, is the equivalent of going to Rick Tocchet now going, okay, man, we got to give you 7 mil now.
Right.
Okay. We got to give you, we got to triple your salary. Okay. And I'm going to ask the fan base what they think about that. Should we fuck up our cap and all this stuff and our budget and give Rick Tocchet $10 million? Every fan's going to go, whoa, wait a minute here. Yeah, I know they're going good, but let's see what happens at 20 games.
That seems to be a generally agreed upon standard of a fair sample size. Right. But I think you analyze every situation differently. No two situations are the same. I would agree with you. I don't think, you know, the Edmonton Oilers had a really, really good season. They went deep into the playoffs. They finished up. It was 2 years ago. They go to the conference finals. They were lost in the second round last year to the eventual cup champion Golden Knights. I don't think Woodcroft is in a dire situation the way DJ Smith is. He is in the process of his fifth season. So right. At least Woodcroft has recent success to draw from. And so I think in his case, it is a small sample size. In DJ Smith's at 10 games, I don't think it is a small sample size because he's going down the same road that he's gone down every single season as Sens right. coach.
Yeah, playing themselves out of it. You know, right. all that being said, you know, but the 20 games, I can't, you know, if you talk to Ken Holland or the GM in Ottawa, who's it, Stales? Is that who replaced?
He's taken that on. He's president of hockey operations, but he's the interim GM. He's claiming that he's going to search for another GM, but there's people who think that he might take that on as well.
Right. Full time. So I might get, you know, if Ken Holland goes, I know we said 20 games, mm-hmm. but we didn't think he'd take a shit this bad.
Right.
You know, and so.
It's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah. So it's bad. Here's why I think Jay Woodcroft is not doing himself any favors. I listened to his post-game interview last night, and he has a habit of doing this when I look back at all of his pressers after, okay? He always goes to, like last night, they're hitting him hard, okay? Even calling out players, you know, about bad, you know, Bouchard didn't back check there and it resulted in a goal. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to talk to him? What are you going to tell the players, right? And Jay Woodcroft's go-to all the time is, okay, did he make a bad play? Yes, he did. You know, did I make a mistake as a coach on that with that line? Yes, I did. You know, he does that all the time. He does it in every interview I've ever seen him. You know, it's like, are we having difficulty with our goaltenders? Yes, we are. You know, it's just like, okay, he's giving me nothing concrete.
Right.
He's giving me nothing, right? It's, you know, did I make a mistake tonight when I called out the ref for that question? Yes, I did. And his other one is, we have to be better. Okay. I've got to be better. The other team's got to be better. We have to be better. Can we play better? Yes, we can. Right. So I you know how that's annoying, but I'm telling you, watch an interview of his. Right. And I love Jay. I know him. I've played a couple games of golf with Jay before he became head coach. But when I saw that last night, I'm going, if I'm the owner, I'm looking at this, or Ken Holland, I'm looking at this going, dude, we need a little more.
Right.
I'll tell you what the problem is. You know, collectively, the second and third line are minus 1,000. So that's where we have to look to improve that, our secondary scoring. You know, Connor McDavid, you know, he might be hurt. I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't see anything wrong with him, but they're shutting him down, you know, and we got to find some goaltending, you know, I need something out of Jay.
It's one thing to, like the media, analyze and evaluate and decide what's gone wrong here right now. But the next step is, how are you going to fix it? Or, you know, how are you going to make someone accountable if the goalies aren't going well? What are you going to do? Are you going to bring up a goalie? Are you going to trade for a goalie? You know, I think when we talk about analyzing teams in 20 game samples or 10 game samples, you almost have to do the same thing with your players. Mm-hmm. If they're, you know, you don't want to bury them because they have one or two or three bad games. But if you're in a 10 game stretch, then maybe you have to start looking at, okay, what is the accountability? If you're playing poorly, if you're unfocused, if you're not playing defensively very well, you have to take away the ice time, because as a coach, that's the only hammer you have.
Right.
There's lots of things you can do. You can't just sit around evaluating and just hoping that things turn around. At some stage, you need to take a guy and drop him out of your top six, or take him off the power play, or sit him in the press box.
Right.
There's a lot of talk out there, but you know, I think there's too many coaches out there trying to be friends. I think DJ Smith has that as an issue.
Yeah.
He tries to be friends with the players and doesn't want to the top half of the roster. He doesn't want to hold them accountable by taking away their cookies. And that's a problem. I mean, a lot of the great coaches in NHL history, Jimmy, were despised by their players because they did hold them accountable. And you're never popular when you hold guys accountable. Scotty Bowman, Exhibit A, seen as one of the great coaches of all time. The Montreal Canadiens of the 1970s hated that guy.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Well, the housing market in Ottawa can be a volatile world out there. And if you're looking to buy or sell right now, the Glenn Walton real estate team can help. Glenn helped my family sell a home a couple of years ago and did a ton for us, including staging. He provided a great painter, a cleaner, and even bought new ceiling lights. All to make sure the home was looking its best on picture day, and it was all part of his services. He can do the same for you. Visit glennwalton.com.
And, you know, say what you want about Daryl Sutter, you know, that he got turfed in Calgary. By the way, do you think he's laughing? Making $3 or $4 million a year for another 2 or 3 years. They fired him, and Calgary's not playing very well. Here's the problem, probably, Steve, with the Oilers, for example. See, although Connor's the first time he's been out of the, the top 20 in points or something, this first 10 games in or whatever, okay, or 11 games. You've got Connor and Drysdale who have been just like, you know, overperforming, maybe not, but unbelievable players.
Yeah.
Unbelievable players. So when you go in to coach that team now and go, we're going for a shit, you know, and if I know Drysdale, he's pretty outspoken, right? And a little bit arrogant. You know, he's going, well, fuck, pal. You know, I won the scoring title or close to it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I look to my right here. Connor's done okay. So what do you want to do, coach? You know, sir, it must be difficult, you know, it must be difficult, but I agree with you. I agree with you, you know, that he might be a little too friendly, you know, come on guys, we can work our way out of this, you know, but they're probably a hard team to coach, right? You're losing and yet you got really good players.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? You think about the Vegas Golden Knights. They just won a Stanley Cup. They've got some stars, you know, Jonathan Marchessault. They have Mark Stone. They've got some really good players there, but they've also got a lot of guys that are toying with that line of being, you know, average player to star player. What they have is everybody buying in, everybody supporting each other, playing defense first, making sure you get the D taken care of first, and then when you get 100% control of the puck, you have possession, then you start thinking about offense. Too many teams, particularly clubs with, you know, young snipers who grew up with highlight reels and dangles and shootout moves and all the fancy stuff, they haven't learned to be workhorses yet. What they are is racehorses, and that's what these coaches have to figure out with a lot of these young players, how to get them in that mode of doing the things that aren't as fun. Because all defense is not skill. All defense is effort, focus, commitment.
Right.
And so that's I think the challenge these coaches have to try and get everybody to buy in. And when they don't over an extended period, like say 10 games, they have to be made accountable for that.
Yeah. Like in the first period last night of the Oilers Vancouver game, the Oilers were like, they outshot Vancouver something like 19-3.
Right.
Like pretty close to the whole period. So how do you coach that? You know, it's like, first of all, our defense was pretty strong and our offense was wicked.
Yeah.
Like the shot totals, man, are a significant stat, you know? So what a telltale sign though was last night as how bad the Oilers are playing is Vancouver finally finally got out of their own end and had like a 2-on-1 deep into the first. Okay. It was literally the first time they got past the red line. Okay. And they take a shot and the goalie, you know, makes a good save. Okay. When you hear the announcers going, what a huge save that is. This team really needed that, you know, they really needed that. And boy, well, that's a long time coming there with a big, I'm like, what the fuck, what? Dave, they're talking about what a turnaround this is for the Oilers. To me, it's like this team's in trouble, you know, this team, because those guys know a little more than you think. Mm-hmm. The color guy and the play-by-play guy. They travel with the team. They sit on the plane with the team. They're in the same hotel. They have the odd beer together with those guys. So, you know, you get a little more. You go, oh, okay, I get it. I get it. There must be, you know, something up there. And a lot of it, I agree, Steve, a lot when you talk about Vegas, I think a lot of it is, you know, pointing the finger at guys with the players. You know, a lot of people think Connor McDavid is too soft. You know, he like last night in his interview, he's like, yeah, this is death by 1,000 cuts. Oh, fabulous. Wow. You know?
Yeah.
Wow. Where's my guy going? Hey, stop with the panic, man. Don't worry. You know, we got gunners. Guys are playing good. We're buying in.
Yeah.
And we're having some bad luck, you know, some bad breaks. So
yeah. You bring up an interesting point. I hadn't planned to talk about this, but the whole notion of when you have media that is around the team on a daily basis, how tricky it is to really give your objective opinion on things. Like, just visualize, if you had the job you had at TSN 1200 for, you know, the better part of a decade, if you had that job in Edmonton when you're palling around with the Oilers in the dynasty years, how hard that would be to jump on the radio and rip those guys when it was time to rip those guys. I have the same issue right now, for example, the Sens Nation podcast, brought to you by Jim K. Ford. We regularly get Drake Batherson of the Senators on. And he's certainly taking some flack in the last couple of years for defensive play. And there is, as I hear it, as I kind of get my back up a little bit, because I've kind of grown fond of Drake Batherson over the several years he's been a regular on the podcast. So to your point about getting the inside word and the real goods on the players, I think that there's no question they have the access and they do give you some good stuff. But when it comes to, you know, critical stuff, I wonder if it's as good as it could be, just given that it's really hard to rip people you now know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was real close to that team.
Sure.
You know, in the 80s, right? And I knew them, as everyone knows, you know, me and my connection with that team. And I heard a lot of shit. I heard a lot of shit after games when we're having beers and eating a steak, you know.
Tons what of a shit. Show you could have had the next day.
Well, totally, right? And it just, you know, you gotta stay muted, right? You can't, but it sure is telling, right? It sure is telling. Believe me, Steve, when I say after bad games, the coaches, especially, again, I use the Oilers all the time, but definitely the coaches are calling in the captain and Draisaitl going, okay, boys, what the fuck's up here? What do we got to do? Right? We need your take on the team as a whole here. Right. What's happening out there? And a lot of the coaches will go pseudo Babcock. Okay, Stevie? I know they will. They're going to say, I need to know what you guys are talking about. I need to know what's happening here, you know, away from the ring. Help me out here. Help
me. And let me see your phone.
Yeah. Right. there's a guy online who imitates Babcock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Have you seen?
Oh, yeah, I have seen him. Yeah.
He puts all the makeup. He's got the wig on and everything. He kind of sounds like Babcock, and all he's doing is walking around looking at people's phones all the time.
Yeah. He was actually at because Babcock was fired in Columbus for the whole. You know, I guess there were some players who were uncomfortable that Mike Babcock was asking to look at their cell phones and the photos on them, just kind of get to know you better, that kind of deal. And anyway, that's the backstory on that. But this imposter, this impressionist, who looks a little bit naturally like Babcock, and he certainly has his voice down. He goes to a Columbus game. He sits right behind the Blue Jackets bench and he's got a clipboard and everything, and he's kind of yelling toward the bench about, you know, skate harder, guys, skate harder, guys, that kind of
Yeah.
And but in the meantime, the video is rolling on him and all the fans that are sitting beside him. Oh, let me see your phone there. And he's asking all the fans for their phone to see their photos. So it was quite funny for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, that's probably where those teams are at right now, right? With the coaches befuddled.
Yeah.
You know, going, did they take the fall? You know, I don't know. If you're Jay Woodcroft, it's like, can we be better? Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Okay. How, Jay? How?
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's going to be much of a future for either Woodcroft or DJ Smith in their respective markets if they can't get back on a winning jag very, very soon. The San Jose Sharks, though, as you mentioned, 0-10-1 to start the year. That is just, I'm compelled by that. Like, I'm hoping they, you know, I'm hoping they're one of those rare NHL teams that cannot get to double digits in victories. I don't know why I find that compelling. Like, you know, the Detroit Lions in the NFL, they've on several occasions flirted with a winless season. I don't know. There's something I kind of like about it. And
for 16 games.
Yeah, that's a 16 game. This is 82.
Right.
You know, they're not going to go 82 games without a win, but they're still waiting and they'll try again tonight. But man, GM Mike Greer has got to be, he's only been on that job for a fairly short time by GM standards. But, you know, you got to look at that. I mean, any scorched earth rebuild, as bad as you want to rebuild, wrecking ball the whole nine yards. And that's what San Jose's done here. That's why they traded away Eric Carlson. He ended up in Pittsburgh. That's what they're up to. I get that. But you should not be this bad. San Jose is not only 0-10-1 to start the year. They have the worst goal differential in league history. You're already a minus 42 and you've only played 11 games. That's like, well, do the math. You're almost losing every game by four goals. That is phenomenal. And in their last two games, Jimmy, keep this in mind, they're at home and they gave up 10 goals in consecutive games at home. Phenomenal. Just nice. Well done, San Jose.
Back to back. Don't go easy on them now. It's not all Greer's fault. The guy's up in the booth, man. Okay. Here's the biggest mistake they made, Stevie. Doug Wilson was the longtime GM, okay? Yep. Long time. And took San Jose to pretty good spots, you know, in his tenure there.
Some great years.
Yeah. So anyway, he backs away. Apparently it was, the talk was a health issue at one time going, okay, well, he's done. It's too bad. You know, they don't have Doug Wilson anymore. I read the other day, Steve, Doug Wilson is a consultant with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, he's a senior advisor of hockey operations.
Yeah, I'm going like, well, wait, whoa, Dougie. You told us you were done, you know? What are you doing?
Get back
We'll take you back, Dougie. Get back here. Yeah, and I thought his son had a high-level management job with San Jose after he left, or he might have been an assistant GM or something maybe, but anyway. Let's get Doug, you know, get maybe look at Dougie. Yeah.
Yeah, we could use you back. We could use a little about what nobody's going to get them out of.
Shane, come back.
I just don't see that team. I just really think, because I mean, I was here covering the Sens first season. I believe they had 10 wins in their first year. It really is something special when you can get a team to be single digits in victories. That's something I don't know. Schadenfreude, call it what you will, but I find that damn compelling.
Ladies and gentlemen, rev up your engines and get ready for the deal of a lifetime. Jim K. Ford is proud to announce the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale, the event you've been waiting for. For a limited time only, Jim K. Ford is offering unbeatable discounts, jaw-dropping financing options, and mind-blowing trade-in deals. Don't miss out on the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Now, a lot of the discussion today, Jimmy, has been about accountability in the sport of hockey. How about a guy making $10.5 million a year playing hockey in the NHL, 24 years of age, Brady Tkachuk is who I'm referring to here. How about a guy like that holding the paying fan accountable? So after the last game, Senators lost to Tampa Bay, there was booing, there was chanting of fire DJ Smith, the head coach. Mm-hmm. And after the game, Brady Tkachuk. Well, the microphones came his way, standard media scrum, and Brady Tkachuk basically just went off. He said, whenever you don't win, it's frustrating, and it's frustrating the negativity from the outside. It's the constant booing and the bullshit from the crowd tonight was, and then he caught himself. I understand they're a passionate fan base, he continued. I love it. But, I mean, when you face adversity, you don't turn your back on the guys out there. I mean, we're playing hard. It's frustrating right now, but it's not like we're giving up out there. We're fighting to the area, the very end. So, to be honest with you, I was very frustrated with the booing. Big mix in Ottawa after hearing that. Some people said, that's what a captain does. He defends his guys. He defends his coach. Other people were like, how dare you? I'm here. I paid $35 for parking. I just paid $17-18 for a tall boy can of beer or times five or whatever. And then the price of tickets. If I want to boo here in the seventh season where it looks like we're going down yet another road to a bad start, if I want to boo, I'm going to boo. How dare you? What did you think of his comments?
Well, a couple. I like it, right? Obviously, you know, what's the measurement of passion, right? I think it's an overused thing in sports, right? You know, especially when they win. You know, I love these guys. You know, I can't, you know, the World Series, right, was just on, right? Texas win. I'm so proud of these guys in the room, yada, yada. Right? It's like, whatever. Okay, we hear it all the time. You know, prove me you're passionate. Okay, fuck off, fans. How about that? Okay, get out of my face. Leave me alone. You're shitty. You're not on board with this thing. So it says a lot. I think it does. It does say a lot. It's a negative way of saying you are positively passionate about what you're doing with the team. I would love to see that, for example, from Connor McDavid. You know, maybe not about the fans or something, but somehow. You know, screaming and yelling, a little bit. But you can't say as a fan that take all the time, Stevie, with, you know, I paid good money for a ticket. I paid $7,000 for a pair. I've been paying money every year to be a season ticket holder of this team a long time. And this is bullshit, you know, that money thing, Steve, is you can't be doing that. Okay. It's, I don't know, it's the equivalent of screaming every single day at your bank because you have a mortgage, you know, right? It's like every day, you know what? I'll tell you what, I'm booing the RBC, man, or whatever, right? Or screaming all the time, you know, that I paid good money to, you know, or I pay a bunch of taxes, Steve. So, you know, I'm booing everyone. You got to get rid of that, okay? I did this and I did that. I get it, right? But you got to stop with that thing about the money I paid to watch this team, you know?
But at the end of the day, you're going to a sports competition and your team might lose. In fact, your team might be terrible that night. There's no guarantee of any level of entertainment from your team at all.
Right.
And so if that consistently goes on long enough, then your alternative probably should be to stay home. It just brings the question, it's like, why are you going to the game? You want your team to win. Do you think that's going to help if you boo them throughout the course of the game? Is that going to get them back in the game? Is that going to improve them for the next game? Probably not.
Right. You know, it's like saying, listen, I pay $6,000 a year to put my kid in minor hockey. Okay. You got to do something about this coach. They're not winning. I pay a lot of money. I pay a lot of money to have my kid there. You know, it's just, I think it's a stupid argument. I think it's, you know, it's not like you're getting Uber Eats here to the door. I might get that, you know? I might get that, Steve, because they fuck up orders all the time, right?
Right.
So many people end up with someone else's order, which is hilarious, because they don't phone. They just take the order. It happened to me the other day. My food never showed up. So I get it. There you go. Look, I'm paying 25% more than I would if I had, you know, eight in at the restaurant. So you guys got to, as Jay Woodcroft would say, can they be better? Yes, they can. Right? So
I have some sympathy for the concept of I'm paying a lot of money, so I expect this. Because any exchange, as far as business goes, you're going to talk about the money you paid. Like if you buy cigarettes and the cigarettes, what brand do you choose?
Me?
Yeah, what brand of cigarettes do you?
Demore, I get what you're saying. I get
so
saying.
I mean, if they taste like cat urine, you're going to say, hey, these taste like cat urine. And if they go, so what? How dare you complain and talk to me and tell me that you're not happy with the product? How dare you? First thing you'll say is, well, like I paid what, $12 for this carton.
Right.
And that's sort of what the fans are doing.
Well, look at it this way. Okay. We're saying, okay, we're going to allow you to use that as a measuring stick. Okay. The money you paid for your ticket to my team. So what do we have to do to make it worth the $130 you paid for a ticket? Okay. And so the guy goes, okay. You gotta be above 500, 10 games in. Okay. Will you shut your hole then if we get above 500? Yes. I'll never complain about the $130 ticket. Okay. Fantastic. Now I'm going to ask you another question. What if we go 9-1? Can I charge you 200?
Right. Charge more.
Yeah. Charge more. That's what effectively what these fans are saying when they go, I pay a lot of money to do this. I expect more out of my team. Well, okay, fine. Let's look at that. If my team wins the fucking Stanley Cup, then you're guaranteed that you're buying tickets next year for $500 a seat. Right. I'm guaranteed that according to what you're saying. If you want to put a value on tickets, right?
Well, I think it's just, you know, it's a cumulative thing too. It's not just that the fans were going, you know, they weren't going directly at the players on the ice. And even the DJ Smith thing, it's a cumulative thing. It's not just on a one night basis. It's not like the Edmonton situation, for example, again, like I said, off the top, it's different because this team has not been to the playoffs the last 6 years and they're clearly going down a bad road again. You know, this team could not get off to a bad start and have the fans be happy with that, particularly with all the great young talent they have. If you go down the road again about another bad start and play yourself out of the freaking season in the first month again, then there's got to be a shakeup. There absolutely has to be. And that's what the fans were saying. Brady Tkachuk interpreted it as, you know, they're booing us specifically. No, they're booing the circumstances. They're communicating that they want a shakeup because they don't like where this is headed for now a seventh straight fucking season.
Right. Maybe your team's not good enough. You know, maybe your team's not good enough right now.
I don't see that.
Well, they're kind of not good enough right now.
Yeah, they're dead last in the East.
Yeah. Well, you and I, my Oilers, your Sens.
What a pair.
there's a comedian, a woman comedian. I like her. She's got a deep Southern accent. She's into her 50s or 60s. She's very funny.
Yeah.
And she says, let me tell y'all something about my husband. He loves two things, golf and sex. Oh, yeah. Lucky me. Oh, lucky me, the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, and the Edmonton Oilers.
And the
at least we're not the Sharks. At least we're not the Sharks. With that, we'll call it a day. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, that our website is stevewproject.com. We'll be back next week once again. If you're interested in giving the show a little shot, a little boost, you can take it a Patreon membership. That would be most appreciated by James and I. There's no higher-ups or overlords who collect that money. That goes right into our pockets. Not going to lie. Yeah. So you can check that out. Our Patreon memberships are available at stevewproject.com. Hey, if they get this thing to a certain point, we'll start doing more shows.
Right.
But, for the here and now, it's sort of a weekly checkup. And hope you enjoyed it today and look forward to talking to you next week. Any final thoughts today, James, before we go?
Come on over, Steve. I'm going to make you some pancakes. It's the Hungry Man's. Some pancakes, some bacon. A little breakfast sausage. And fuck, there's another meat in there. Oh, ham, bacon, and sausage.
Nice. I'd be all over that.
And I'll poach you up a couple eggs and some flapjacks.
Nice. Are you a breakfast for dinner guy?
100%.
I don't even want to know you if you're not.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Often.
Good, solid breakfast. I had a beauty at Gabriel's Pizza the other day. Underrated breakfast there.
Oh. I remember Gabriel's Pizza.
Oh, yeah. Big Ten. Anyway,
I used to want to meet you there right after the show, but I was out buying blow. We'll talk to you later. Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.
Thanks for being with us on the SWP. Please subscribe today or support us on Patreon at stevewproject.com.